My name is Daniel Buchanan. I pastor the New Beginning Missionary Baptist Church. And for the parents that may be listening to this CD, I want to thank you for letting your child come to our church. And we're pleased that you did, and we thank God that you did, and we love your family. And the most important thing in this world is preparing for the next world, because we're all going to die. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And the purpose that I have of this CD is to explain in simplistic terms what it means to be born again. You'll find the reading in John chapter 3, verse number 1. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That word see there means to understand. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, that means truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So you've got here in verse 3 that unless we're born again, we cannot see or understand the kingdom of God. In verse number 5, we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except by the new birth. Then Jesus said, That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That is the answer right there of why we must be born again. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. There it is again. Now, when someone makes a statement, the weight that it has and the importance that it has is determined by who said it. And the Lord Jesus Christ is making this statement. That means it's got all the authority of God behind what he said. If he said you must be born again, there is no exception. Not for anybody. Everyone must be born again. Now, when we're children, we're born into sin, but we're born into innocency. And when we reach that time of understanding, and I don't use age anymore because it's a different time for everyone. Different children come to a different understanding at different times in their life. And that time of understanding is when you know that you are lost and that you must be saved. And God makes that real to your heart. Then I want to read verse number 8 and then explain all these verses. The wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Now this conversation the Lord had in John chapter 3 was done on purpose. The Lord could have given these verses to anybody he wanted to, because he talked to thousands of people. But he reserved this analogy of the birth of a child for this man named Nicodemus. And there's a definite reason for it. Because this man is so religious. Not a more religious man probably in the nation of Israel than Nicodemus was. The Bible says three things about him. Number one, he was a Pharisee. That was a sect of religious people that were very, very extremely devout in their religion. They were so devout that just to be a Pharisee, one had to memorize the Pentateuch, which is the first 5 books of the Bible. Not only that, they tithed of all their income. They gave alms to the poor. They did all these good works. They fasted twice a week. They prayed 3 times a day. Do you know what Jesus just told this man? All of that is worth nothing. If that's what you're depending on to take you to heaven, that Nicodemus, you must be born again. No matter how religious you are, no matter how good you are, no matter how honest you are, no matter how good of a person you are, no matter how much money you may have given away. And history records that Nicodemus was one of the 3 wealthiest men in all of Jerusalem. But in spite of all of that, you must be born again. Now, what does that mean? To be born again means to be born of God. It means to be born from above. It means to be born from heaven. Now, the Lord uses this analogy because you that are listening to my voice, whether you're 5 years old, 50 years old, or 85 years old, you can understand this. We all understand the imagery of a family. That's what the Lord's talking about. Now, why must I or you be born again? Because our first birth is a physical birth. The physical family, the earthly family that you were born into and I was, is a fleshly family. The family of God is a spiritual family. When you were born, you've got a birthday. And when you were born, you became related to your mother and your daddy. You are their child. That gives you relationship. But to be in the family of God, you've got to have a birth. And that birth makes you related to God. It makes you a child of God. That's why you must be born again. Because when you were born the first time, you were not born into God's family. No one is born into God's family when they're born the physical birth because of sin. And we must be born spiritually in order to be into the family of God. Now, birth is the gateway of life. Through birth, that's how you got into this world. Don't miss this. If you're going to get into God's world, God's family, God's kingdom, God's heaven, you must be born into that family. That's what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about a new relationship, a new fellowship, a new family that God gives you. Now, the Lord said here in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The fleshly birth you had placed you in the man's family, and the spiritual birth that we have places us into God's family. It takes a spiritual birth. What did Jesus say here to Nicodemus? He told him in verse 15 that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Now, why did he go from being born into God's family to believing in Christ? Because Christ is the one that made it possible that you could be born into God's family. He shed his blood on the cross that your sins might be forgiven, that God might put his nature inside of you and that you might go to where God is. Now, my parents gave me a physical birth. God gave me a spiritual birth. 1 John 5:11. Listen to this, young person. You are alive because you've got physical life. I've been saved by God's grace, and therefore I've got spiritual life. When a person dies, they no longer have life. That's why you've got to be born again. You do not have spiritual life if you're not saved, if you've not been born again. 1 John 5:11. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now, the emphasis here is on the spiritual, not the physical. Christ is the life. Christ gives life, and Christ gives eternal life. Fallen parents can only produce fallen children. But when you're born of God, God is holy, and God is perfect. And when we're born into the family of God, God puts something holy and something perfect inside of us, and that is the divine nature of God. The first birth that I had and that you had gave you a consciousness of this world. The second birth that we all must have gives us a consciousness of God's world, of the spiritual things of God. That's why Christ said, if you're not born again, you can't understand the things of God. And you'll not even have a real interest in the things of God until you're born again. The natural man must be born of the Spirit of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's all it can produce. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit produces, is spiritual life. The second birth is much like the first birth in that it's a real mystery. But the first birth is a visible birth. When you were born, the doctor saw you or the nurse saw you. Your parents saw you. But the second birth is an invisible birth. It is a mysterious birth. That's why it's mysterious. You can't see it. I cannot see if God's dealing with you. I cannot see if you've been saved. I cannot see your heart. But I can see the results of what God does in your life. The first birth gives you the ability to do physical, earthly, and natural things. The second birth gives you the ability to do spiritual things. What do I mean by that? Your physical birth gave you the ability to communicate in this world. You can communicate with your mother and father. You can communicate with your friends when you learn how to talk. You learn how to walk. You learn how to do things. When you're born spiritually, you learn how to talk to God. You learn to hear from God. You learn how to walk with God. You learn how to do the things of God. And the Lord gives you a power that you never had. He makes a new person out of a person that He regenerates. That's another word for being born again. And what He does, He gives us power not do the things we used to do. And if we do them, He will convict us of that and let us know that we belong to Him. The first birth was a result of the will of your parents. You had nothing to do with it. You're here, I'm here today because of the will of my mother and my father. You are born into the family of God, not by your will, but the will of God. In John 1:13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Every person that's ever been saved got saved deliberately. They did not get saved accidentally. They got saved because the Lord dealt with their heart. Here we see the new birth is a result of the will of God. Now, what does that mean? How can I explain that to you? We're born of the will of God. What it means is this. You're born again by the intervention of God. That God come into your life, made Himself real to you. That's how you're born again. You didn't get into God's family by anything your parents did. You do not get into God's family by anything you have done. We are born into God's family by the choice of another, the power of another, the grace of another. And that's the glory of salvation. In James 1:18, of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. Now, young folks or adult, whoever's listening to my voice, that's why it is so important that you get under God's word, because you cannot control the Spirit of God. You cannot tell God when to deal with you. You say, well, if I'm going down the road and I'm about to have a car wreck and about to hit an oak tree, I'll just call on God to save me. My dear friend, it does not work like that. You can pray all you want to, but if God's Holy Spirit is not touching your heart and inviting you to be saved, and His power is there to put you into God's family, you could pray 1,000 years and never be born again. That's why you've got to do business with God when God's doing business with you. Now, what did Jesus tell Nicodemus? Except a man be born again, he cannot understand the kingdom of God. He can't see it. He can't enter it. Which were born not of the will of man, not of blood. That means whoever your mother and father is, they may be the best mom and dad a person could have, but that will not save you. They cannot get saved for you. Your mom and dad may love you. Your pastor may love you, but he cannot give you salvation. Your parents gave you their sin nature, but they can't give you God's nature. Only God can give you His nature. We're not born into God's family by blood. You're not born again by religious achievements. It says here, we're not born of blood, nor the will of the flesh. Nicodemus, all this charitable giving, all these religious rituals, all these good deeds, did not move him one inch toward God. Not an inch. It took God's intervention. You are not born into the family of God by anything you do. nor the will of man. You're not saved by what some priest says, or some preacher says, or some church declares. You are born of God. Now, when we think about this, here's Nicodemus, this man that seemingly had everything going for him, but the Lord knew his heart, and the Lord knew who he was. Now, Nicodemus here was not only a Pharisee, he was a ruler of the Jews. That means he was one of the 70 members of the Sanhedrin court, which would be sort of like our Supreme Court. He's a master in Israel. Here's a man that is a Pharisee, does all these religious works, goes to the house of God all the time, prays all the time, reads the Bible all the time, quotes Scripture. He is a member of the Sanhedrin. He's a powerful, wealthy man. He is a religious instructor. He's a master of Israel. That means his occupation, he is a doctor of the law. He is a theologian. But listen to me now, if that man cannot be saved by what he does, you and I do not have one chance in this world. If there's any man that could have gone to heaven by what he did, it would have been Nicodemus. And if Nicodemus was not good enough to go to heaven, you can believe and know that you're not and I'm not. Here's what Nicodemus didn't understand. That at the first birth, we receive a fallen nature. That's why, young person, it's easier to hate than to love. It is easier to be bad than to be good. It is easier. And what we have to do is teach children to do right. You have never had to teach a child how to lie. You've never had to teach a child how to steal. You do not have to teach a child how to do wrong. That is their nature. They have to be taught how to do good. In sin did my mother conceive me. Now, at the first birth, the reason you are what you are is your nature. At the second birth, we receive the divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4, we are partakers of the divine nature. Now, what's our problem? You say, well, our problem is we do things wrong. No, that's not the problem. You need to get to the source of the problem. And the source of the problem is we are all sons of Adam. Adam fell in the Garden of Eden by one man. Sin entered into the world and death by sin. Death's been passed on all of us. In my veins flows corruptible blood. That's why I'm going to die. That's why you're going to die. And that sin nature that we have is our problem. Not what we do, it's what we are. A horse cannot make itself a cow. A dog cannot make itself a cat. An apple tree cannot turn itself into a peach tree. And a sinner cannot make itself a child of God. We need a new nature. Just as you've got a human nature, you need a divine nature. Now that human nature I've got, that human nature you've got, is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. In the new birth, the Holy Spirit puts the divine nature inside of us. That nature cannot sin. Now the nature I got from my mom and daddy, and it'll be with me till I die, that nature can sin. But that nature God put in me cannot sin. Now don't take my word for it. The Bible says this. 1 John 3:9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed, that's his nature, remaineth in him. He cannot sin because he's born of God. Now, the Lord did not say that a saved person cannot sin. He said that new nature that he put inside of us cannot sin. There's a part of me that's perfect. It's not what you see. It's not what I live in. It's what God put in me. The first birth was a result of a corruptible seed. The second birth is the result of the incorruptible seed. 1 John 3:5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, how do you interpret that? Is that water baptism? Absolutely not. You can baptize a man 1,000 times. It might clean the outside of his skin, but it cannot affect his inside. And our problem is not the outside. Our problem is the inside. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, that's the seed of your daddy, but of incorruptible. The incorruptible seed is the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, just as every child has two parents, you got a mother and a father, every person born into the family of God has two parents. Jesus just said what they were. You got to be born of the water. That's the Word of God. You got to be born of the Spirit. Now, how am I going to explain this? Well, the only way I can is by saying this. The seed, the water is the Word of God. Now, what the Holy Spirit does is when you read the Bible, you hear a man preach about the Bible, you hear somebody teach or witness about the Bible, God takes that truth and He puts it in your heart. And it finds a lodging place. And God will not let Satan steal it. What I'm talking about is this. There comes a time when God makes me aware that I'm lost. That is the Holy Spirit putting the Word of God in my heart. I understand. I cannot save myself by getting baptized, doing the Holy Communion, doing this and that, and holding on, holding out, and trying to be good, and trying to be honest and clean myself up. That won't affect me one bit. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works as any man should boast. If it's a gift, it can't be by works. Now, how do I know that? God makes that real. God puts that in my heart. He lets me understand Christ was born of a virgin. Christ lived a sinless life. Christ died for me. What is that? That's the Holy Spirit putting the Word of God in your heart. Now, when He makes that believable, that's God giving you faith. That's what God's Word does. It gives you faith. How can I believe the Bible apart from any other book? Because the Holy Spirit makes the Bible believable. That's how, and when I accept that, He'll give me more truth. And if I'll accept that, He'll give me truth after that. John 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Now, young person or mom and dad, are you understanding now why Satan does not want you in God's house? Are you understanding now why he does not want you around the holy things of God? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How shall they believe on Him in whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? That's what this Bible says. Therefore, we must be born of the Spirit. Only God has the power to put you into the family of God. Now, listen to this. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power and the Holy Ghost and much assurance. Now, folks say this. Well, I don't get anything out of preaching. I don't get anything out of reading the Bible. But remember this. If you will listen, and if you will keep reading and keep listening, the Holy Spirit will let that Word come in power. And at the right time, you will understand. It takes faith to believe that. It takes faith to do that. But this whole thing's by faith anyhow. Except a man be born of the water, that's the Word of God, and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus symbolizes the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. The wind, that's a type of the Spirit. That's a picture of the Spirit. Just like a child being born is a picture of you being born into God's family. Water, seed, is a picture of the Word of God. So wind here is a picture of the Holy Spirit. The wind bloweth where it listeth. That word means where it pleases. Thou hearest the sound thereof. Canst not tell whence it cometh, whither it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. Now, first thing I want you to see real quick. The wind bloweth where it listeth. That means where it pleases. The Holy Spirit moves on whom He will, when He will, and how He will. You don't control it. I do not control it. I cannot not tell God to deal with me. I can ask Him to. But this thing of the new birth is under the control of God. John 1:13. You say, well, if it's under the control of God, why am I responsible? You're responsible and I'm responsible because we can put ourselves in places where God will deal with us. That's the whole thing that I'm saying. John 1:13, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God, of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. Now, you can't see the wind, you can't control the wind, and you cannot predict the wind. Now, why did Jesus use this picture of the wind? Because the wind is invisible. The Holy Spirit is invisible. You cannot see the wind, but you can see the results and the effects of the wind. When the Holy Spirit deals with us, He quickens our mind. He convicts our soul. He quickens our spirit. And only the Holy Spirit can work repentance in your heart. Listen to me. You can't even be sorry for your sin if God's Spirit does not work repentance in your heart. There's a worldly sorrow and there's a godly sorrow. The worldly sorrow is this. I am sorry that I've got caught. I am sorry I've drunk all of my money away. I am sorry that drugs have destroyed my body. I am sorry that I married the wrong person. I am sorry that I didn't listen to what mom and dad said. You see, you're sorry because of the result of what you did. But godly sorrow, it's when I say, God, I'm so sorry for what I've done to you. I quit blaming everybody else. I quit blaming my mother and father. I quit blaming husband or wife. I quit blaming my environment. I quit blaming how I was raised. And I see myself as a guilty sinner, that my sin nailed Christ to the cross, and that it's my fault that I'm in the shape that I'm in. That doesn't mean that others do not contribute to misery in our life. But I'm not going to give an account to God for them. They're not going to give an account to God for me. John 16 says that the Holy Spirit has come to convince, convict, reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Folks, that's the three things that the Holy Spirit will enlighten your mind about when you're not saved. Number one is sin, that you're guilty. Number two is that of righteousness. Your goodness will not be accepted by God. This whole Bible is a book of redemption. It is a book of righteousness. This book from Genesis to Revelation tells us how that we can be accepted by God and be able to go into heaven. Now, what we call this is conviction. And the Lord shows us judgment, how that if we die without Christ and without being born again, that we'll go to hell and be separated from God. The first birth, listen to this, the first birth I received was the result of the sufferings of another. My mother suffered to bring me into this world, and Christ suffered on the cross to make it possible that you could be brought into the family of God, and to make it possible that your sins could be forgiven and your sin debt could be paid for. We were ruined by the fall. We've been redeemed by the blood of Christ, regenerated by the Spirit of God. Then the first birth gave us a sin nature, and by that it guaranteed our death. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, Hebrews 9:27. The second birth, the new birth, being born again, guarantees that we will never die. Not physically, but spiritually. John 11:25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. There's that spiritual life again. He that believeth on me, though he were dead. That's what we are for. We're saved. We're dead. That means a dead person does not possess physical life. When the Bible says we're dead, it means we do not possess spiritual life. And when God saves us, He gives us that spiritual life. And it's eternal life. John 11:26, whosoever liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Now what does Matthew 10:28 say? It says, fear not them that can kill the body, but fear him that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20:14. That second birth saves you from spiritual death in the lake of fire forever and ever. The first birth equipped you to live in this world. Through the first birth, I've got lungs that can breathe in the air. I've got a body equipped to live in this atmosphere. I cannot live on Mars. I cannot live on the moon. I cannot live on Mercury. I cannot live on Venus or Pluto. I can live in this world. You have to be equipped to live in heaven in the pure, raw presence and absolute perfection of God. Now, I want to make this statement. I want you to think about this. If you're listening to my voice, that means you've had a birthday. And that means most of us have birthmarks. We've got marks that are makes us distinct from other people besides the way that we look. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a spiritual birthday? Now, you may not know the day, and you may not know the hour, and you may not know the year and the month, but I believe with everything in me that if you've ever been born again, you know where it happened. I do not remember the first birth, but I cannot forget, and I cannot get over that second birth. If I've been born once, I'll die twice. I'll die spiritually. I'll die soulishly. I'll be separated from God. But if I'm born twice, born of the flesh and born of God, praise God, I'll never die. Again, that which is born of God by the will of God and the power of God is what puts us into the family of God. Now, think about this a minute. When I said, do you have a spiritual birthday? Have you been born again? Notice I did not say, have you ever prayed a sinner's prayer? I believe just about everybody's done that. You ever been to an altar of a church? That's not the question. You can be converted intellectually. That means someone can give you this great verse that God used to give me the light that I could be saved. Romans 10:9-10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, not the head, the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Someone can ask me the question, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross? Young folks, adults, I have believed that all my life, intellectually, but I did not believe it in my heart. I'm talking about trusting Christ with saving faith that is a gift of God and comes through the Word of God. Some people are converted emotionally. Some folks believe in their head, never trusted Christ in their heart. Some people are converted emotionally. They go to a funeral. Mama's in heaven. If you want to go see Mama, you got to be saved. Folks, that's not being born again. That's being moved emotionally. You can't come to Christ because you want to go be with Mama or Grandma or Grandpa. You have to be saved because you see yourself lost and without God and without hope. That doesn't mean that God doesn't use sickness. He does. Sometimes He uses the death of people to get us serious about our soul. But it takes more than being moved intellectually, emotionally, or volitionally. Well, I know I'm sick because I went to the altar and prayed. I did that 3 times before God saved me. Well, I know I'm saved because I prayed a sinner's prayer. Are you listening to what you're saying? The question is, what has God done for you? What has God done? Has there been that time in your life where God showed you you were lost without God and without hope? Here in Bible school, we just seen a slide of the dungeon in the house of Caiaphas. And that dungeon, the only way into that dungeon in that day was through a narrow opening shaped much like a funnel, small at the top and larger as you go down. In that dungeon, they would put those prisoners or whoever they had arrested. There'd sometimes dead bodies would be left in there. There'd be rats in there. There'd be all kind of human waste and filth. And they'd be in that pit. And the only way to get out of that pit was someone to reach or to drop a rope, drop a ladder, and come down and get them or tie it to them where they could be pulled out of that pit. In the Bible, David said, that the Lord brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. You cannot get out of that pit of sin unless God comes to where you are and pulls you out of that pit. And it's amazing grace. Christ lifted me. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, but Christ lifted me. That's what this is all about, being born of the Spirit of God. Now, our phone number here at the church is 828-754-2766. I have taught a series of being born again in Sunday school, and if you'd like to have a copy of that, we'd be glad to get it to you. If you call us and give us your address. But the thing that's important right now, if the Holy Spirit is dealing with your heart and you realize, not because I said it, but you realize in your heart, God, it's like God turned the light on. And you realize, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why don't you, in your own words, in your own way, trust Christ? You say, preacher, I don't know how to do it. Well, if you wanted something from your mom or dad, if you were hungry, how would you ask for a piece of bread? You would ask them for it. If you want Christ, if you want to be saved, God's dealing with your heart, and you know you're lost and you're a sinner, you cannot save yourself, why don't you just ask God to save you and trust Christ to do it? And Father, I thank You for Your great salvation that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Spirit of God take these simple words and apply it to the heart of somebody. Lord, may they be saved by grace, born again into the family of God. Lord, we so love You because You first loved us. And Lord, as some of the children asked their teacher this week about being saved, if we're not saved, what about us? What's going to happen to us? Oh, Lord, I beg You to move God in great power and use Your word and save souls for Your glory, Your honor, and Your praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you. If we can ever help you, let us know. We love you.